Hamilton, brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Erin Archer. New South Wales's roadmap out of lockdown will be reviewed by the state's crisis cabinet, with newly installed Premier Dominic Perrottet hinting some requirements could be tweaked. Mr. Perrottet, who was sworn in yesterday, will meet with health officials to go over the plan for the state to emerge from months of stay-at-home orders from October 11th. Speaking to Nine Radio, the Premier says the government's first challenge will be navigating the path out of lockdown, which began in Greater Sydney more than 15 weeks ago.
Then I don't want to preempt any decisions yet. We've got our cabinet meeting this afternoon for the crisis cabinet, and we'll work through that. But there's a number of areas within the roadmap that can be looked at.
Mortgage interest rates may be near their lowest in history, but people applying for a new loan will have to assure their bank they are capable of paying a much higher rate when they inevitably rise. Against the backdrop of house prices rising at their fastest pace in more than 30 years and strong demand for mortgages, the banking watchdog is tightening requirements for getting a home loan. The Australian Prudential Regulation Authority has told the banks it wants them to assess new borrowers' ability to meet their loan repayments at an interest rate at least 3 percentage points above the loan product rate. The head of the national COVID-19 vaccine rollout says complacency is slowing down the rollout in some parts of the country. Yesterday was a record for the vaccine program, with the federal government confirming more than 350,000 doses were administered in one day, pushing the overall first dose rate around the country to more than 80%. New South Wales and the ACT are leading the way. However, Queensland and Western Australia are lagging behind. Vaccine rollout coordinator Lieutenant John Fruin told the Nine Network supply is no longer an issue and it's now a matter of convincing people to come forward.
For much of WA, it's just been life as normal for many, many people there, but I just implore them that this vaccination is it's so effective. We've seen it in the rates of hospitalisations and even deaths. If we make the assumption that Delta eventually finds its way across the entire land, that now is the time to get vaccinated.
Streaming giants Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney and Stan could face action to ensure Australian content is produced on their platforms. The Morrison government last year requested the four largest on-demand streaming services report investment in local shows. More than $150 million was spent on Australian programs by the four streaming services in 2019 and 2020. But Communications and Arts Minister Paul Fletcher says more intervention may be needed.
The Green Paper on Media Policy, which the government released last year, proposed a formal Australian content spend requirement on the global streaming services. Right now, we're examining the responses to this proposal that we've received through our consultation process.
And in sport, Joe Root has reportedly committed to leading England for the Ashes tour if the marquee series is given the green light. The Australian and England teams are still awaiting formal confirmation the series will go ahead as negotiations continue about COVID-19 quarantine rules for those arriving into the country. A deal has reportedly been struck, and with Root's commitment, it's likely his teammates who were uncertain on touring will follow suit.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5.
It's 5 minutes past two here on Alive 90.5. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. And a sunny day outside. We're very blessed today. We're looking at 23 degrees right now. It's very sunny outside. Tops of 26 today. Thursday, tops of 29. It's going to heat up tomorrow, mostly sunny. And Friday, it's going to cool down a little bit, 24 degrees.
That's what you think is going to be 23 degrees, yeah.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
In Hammondville on the M5 motorway just past Heathcote Road, there's been a truck breakdown. One of three eastbound lanes are closed. Douglas Park on the Hume Highway just past Picton Road, there's been a crash of a van and a truck, northbound traffic affected. East Karajong, Putty Road at Bullbridge Road. There's been a crash of a truck. Traffic affected in both directions. And in Horsley Park on the M7 motorway just past Horsley Drive, there's been a truck crash. One of two southbound lanes are closed.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Business Insights with Matt and Mario on Align 90.5. This is my sexy voice. My name is Mario Beckes, and my partner in crime, Matthew Caruana, behind the console, and he's a DJ. He's a guy who does technology. I'm just borrowing my voice, as you know. And as Matt said, you know, we had beautiful weather coming this week. And, you know, Freedom Day, it's allegedly on 11th October.
Are you excited?
I don't know what to expect. You know, I mean, look, I just want to go out. You know, I mean, like, I want to drive more than 5 kilometers and, you know, enjoy some type of scenery and to see other people. And but look, I don't think so. The thing's gonna come back normal.
Where's the first place you're gonna go?
The ocean, eh?
The beach.
I'm gonna dip myself in, because my skin, it's like a. Like a dry, you know, I mean, jerky beef. You know, what I mean? That's what this lifestyle is like.
I tell you what, even though we're in lockdown, I got to say, I've been getting the most amount of sun that I've really ever been getting because I've no gym to go to, so I'm just exercising outside. And so, man, I've got some color on me more than I usually do.
Well, look, you got a sun color. I got nothing. You know, I mean, that's what it is. Eh? But let's go crack on now on our first guest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, as well, listeners, thank you for joining us in the studio live 90.5. My name is Mario Beckes, and my partner in crime, Matthew Caruana. You're listening to the best radio talk show. And today, our first guest, it's somebody who's going to judge us hard on this one. It's, you know, somebody who has a great resume. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go welcome George Hazim from Melbourne. And George, welcome.
Hello, Mario. Matthew, how are you?
Hi, George. How are you?
Yeah, great, thank you.
Well, try to not pinch my guest now from me and like, hi, George, my name is Matthew. George, for our listeners, you know, first of all, it's our true privilege to have you with us in studio, the man of your stature, and thank you for accepting to be here for this radio show. I know you're extremely busy, and I know that life in Melbourne is a little bit different than in Sydney. But for our listeners, George, instead of me reading your bio, would you mind to just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Oh, okay. Look, I'm a former journalist. I've worked for a range of major media outlets across the country. I run a media and government relations consultancy now, and I've served as a ministerial media advisor. I've headed the public affairs department for Primes Telecom, for NEC, I was a principal media advisor to the vice chancellor of RMIT University, and I also run a news and current affairs broadcaster service called The Informer.
The Informer, did you hear that, Matt?
I heard it, The Informer. That's in a nutshell. So tell me about journalism. What is it that brings someone to want to start a career down that path? Because they, for me, like, it always intrigued me. It was always the smarter kids in school. I don't know about you, Mario, but like, in my school, it was always the smarter kids that ended up being journalists.
I was the smartest kid in school, but
that's why you're not a journalist.
But it's like, you know, George, do you mind to answer that question, what Matt asked you? Why journalism?
Well, look, I had a father who was always harping on about understanding and knowing what's going on around the world. And he's also very focused on understanding also what's happening around you locally. And we owned a news agency growing up as kids. And he always imparted that it's important that you understand the news. And I developed a love for news, and I was inquisitive as a child, and that continued on throughout school, adulthood, and I suppose the natural progression for me was journalism, because I love news, I love to write, I love to communicate, and that's where I found myself. I went to university and did a degree that was totally unrelated to media.
Yeah.
But once it was in the behavioural sciences, social sciences area, but when I finished my degree, I went straight out and got a cadetship. It's a bit different now because you have a lot of a lot of students that come out of, who enter into journalism, come straight out of communications and media courses out of university. But I think a better grounding, this is only from my own personal perspective, is a better grounding is to have the on-hands experience coming in as a cadet, because you do a whole range and a lot more, and you're exposed to a lot more.
What's the difference between journalism, George, if I may ask you, let's go say 20 years ago and now? What do you see the biggest changes or challenges for journalism 20 years ago now?
Look, 20 years ago, you didn't have social media that you have now. You had a lot more, you had a greater diversity of publications. The market's shrunk, but you've also got access to other media sources, like you've got online, you've got Facebook, YouTube, you've got Twitter. You've got journalists now have to file not only for publications, but they've got to file for Twitter, they've got to file for Facebook, Instagram. So they have to effectively, and under a lot more pressure, meeting a whole range of commitments that they need to meet. As opposed to, say, 20 years ago, where you were probably writing for just the publication. Now it's the publication plus posting on social media as well. And, you know, and also the challenges are the reduction in staff. You know, so you've got news organisations that are far more stretched in terms of personnel than what they were 20 years ago, or when I was a working journalist.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is, has nothing to relate to the, I mean, it's related to the topic, but yet, if you remember, George, of course you remember New Matt last year when everything started with the COVID, suddenly all these big glossy magazines start, retrenching journalists, you know, whatever it was, you know, there's, so I work at the Daily News Agency, right, and there's no printed magazines anymore, literally.
Really?
So I'm asking myself, where this old journalist gone, you know, from these nice glossy magazines about lifestyle, you know, losing the weight in 3 days, 10 kilos and all these things, you know, celebrities, magazines and everything else. So, George, did you see that make big redundancy in a number of journalists in Australia during the COVID or?
Look, there would have been some, but, you know, that gets back to the environment that we're now currently in. As the market continues to to shrink, or the number of players, the major players shrinks, you then have the opportunity where that expands out to independent organisations or people setting up their own media companies. So, you know, where it might give one way, it expands the other. But if you're talking about the quality of journalism, that seems to, in many ways, have been impacted as well. But, you know, I mean, in the end, something suffers. And it might suffer because the amount of stress journalists are placed under to meet deadlines, to meet copy, to do a whole range of things. Whereas in my time, you had the ability to focus on stories and produce good stories without the added pressure of having to file for other different platforms apart from the publication you were working on.
Interesting.
Interesting, yeah. So, George, and I just want to go back to Mario's question, and because one thing that comes to my mind is that you mentioned earlier also that the number of number of news platforms has decreased since 20 years ago. So, is that a concern for communities and for people to get their information?
Well, it is. It is if you've got the concentration of media with centralised with two key players, that narrows the voice. But having also said that, you've also got now independent media organisations, for example, that are now starting to emerge and develop. I mean, if you have a look at last year, early in 2020, here in Victoria, cut back literally the majority of its mastheads. It incorporated it into a newswire service to take on AAP. AAP subsequently wound back the majority of its services. So you see a whole range of flow-on effects in terms of the shrinking of the market. But once again, having said that, the market then expands where you've got independent voices now popping up everywhere.
If I may interrupt, you know, Matt.
And that's also good for journalism as well. Having independent voices means that there's greater diversity and greater thought. And by having greater thought, that also means you're not just limited to the voice of, say, News Corp or Fairfax, for example.
If I may add to our listeners, I just want to read just a few of many achievements George did in his life. Successful launch a media campaign for former paraplegic Terry Mitropoulos, Australia Miracle Man, and his walk from Adelaide to Melbourne to raise awareness for mental health. The successful creation of profile and awareness campaign for Brisbane-based Fresh Supply Company. Successful development of media campaign by Australia leading head and neck surgeon, Dr. Lee Sixton. And, you know, there's a goal list, so it's not a journalism what George does. So, George, what's the difference between being journalist and helping other people to profile them on the market as you did for those people? How what's the difference, if I may ask you, for our listeners, you know, because there's a lot of PR gurus there on the market, you know, a lot of leaders, you know, I mean, I did this, I did that, you know, but yet when you say, what did you done? I was like, oh, man, I can't tell you the name of my clients, but I did. But George, you know, he stands behind, you know, this is his credentials. So George, for our listeners, how difficult is it to become somebody's voice and the eyes on the market?
Okay, the difference between, I'll address your first question.
Yes, please.
The difference between working as a working journalist compared to having jumped to the dark side, as I like to say.
We like it that day, yes?
Is as a journalist, you're going out there, you're researching stories, you're looking for stories, you're working with sources, you're looking for a whole range of different stories where you look for interesting stories that people would be interested in. And there's an old adage which says, news isn't when a dog bites a postman, it's when the postman bites a dog. It's the unexpected which makes news. And that's always what I was taught as a working journalist. You know, interesting stories is what you go after, and that creates... It creates the ability to make people care, or yes, engaging people to make people care, a whole range of things. However, having working as a media advisor, you're working to understand the opportunities that how to build a profile of a client, what will make them interesting compared to other players in their sector, what the difference is, how to create that story, understanding what journalists want, or the stories that they'll be looking for, that it capture their interest, which then will help capture the interest of their readers and build your client's profile. And I always say to clients, for example, your objective is not to be in the media every day because you're not the Prime Minister. And if you think you're the Prime Minister...
Yes, yeah, true. Yeah.
Take a step back. Because it creates more damage than it does benefit you. Because, you know, as a working journalist, if I'm going to get a phone call every day from a particular company, for example, where, you know, you have nothing to say apart from, oh, well, this is what we're doing, and it's not really any news value or interest, in the end, you lose credibility, you impact on the credibility of your client. And I should know better as a former working journalist, for example, as to what makes news, what doesn't make news. And in that instance, I'm letting the client down because I should be advising the client. Well, no, you shouldn't be out there wanting to think that everything that you have to say is newsworthy, because it's not. And as I say to all clients, you're not the Prime Minister. If you expect to be in the media every day, then you're kidding yourself. But you set the expectation and understanding from the very beginning when you take them on as to what they should expect and what they should understand, what a journalist is going to accept and how to be strategic. Because you have a greater impact in terms of your voice around being strategic and saying something when it's of value and of its interest. It's always going to keep it's going to want to make journalists talk to you and respect you, or respect the client for what they say when they have a story, when they want to run with the story, as opposed to just thinking, oh, let's pump out a media release every day, let's see if we can get a story up every day, because the reality is you don't have anything interesting to say every day.
That is very true. But, yeah. You know, what do you think? We take a short break and, take a Hacking the George Kazim brain after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Matthew Caruana and Mario Beckes. And we have a true privilege today to interview George Kazim, who found the time to talk today to us, executive producer of Informa TV. We'll come back after a short break.
Stick around.
Alive 90.5. Two kids with their hearts on fire, who's gonna save us now? When we thought that we couldn't get higher, things started looking down. I look at you and you look at me like nothing but strangers now. Two kids with their hearts on fire, don't let it burn us out. Think about someone you cannot live without, 'cause I know I don't wanna live without you. Yeah, come on, let's turn this all around, bring it all back to the bar downtown, when you would've let me walk on you. Yeah, you said, hey, what you doing for the rest of your life? And I said, I don't even know what I'm doing tonight. Went from one conversation to your lips on mine, and you said
like we never look away. Broke kids running through the city, don't let the memory fade. You said, hey, what you doing for the rest of your life? And I said, I don't even know what I'm doing tonight. Went from one conversation to your lips on mine, and you said,
website www.alive905.com.au.
SE Timbers Castle Hill are flooring experts. Not just flooring, SE Timbers supply, install and guarantee solid timber, engineered, laminate and vinyl flooring, as well as carpet, blinds and shutters. An authorised dealer of major brands like Boral, Preference and Quickstep.
call 98946660 or visit setimbers.com.au to arrange a free quote today. Station sponsor, SE Timber Floors and Shutters, ingrained quality.
Ever have that sinking feeling that you forgot to get the gas bottle filled for the barbecue or outdoor heater? Do you worry about transporting a gas bottle in the boot of your car? Kangaroo Gas has got you covered. Kangaroo Gas will deliver 8.5 kilogram gas bottles to your home or business. Call 0405 LPG LPG or go to kangaroogas.com.au. That's 0405 LPG LPG. Online at kangaroogas.com.au or find them on Facebook. Station sponsor.
Hi, James Rain here, Ambassador for the Leukemia Foundation. Every hour, someone is diagnosed with leukemia, lymphoma or myeloma. And every 2 hours, someone loses their life to blood cancers. You can help the Leukemia Foundation by making a donation, volunteering, payroll giving, joining or hosting a Leukemia Foundation event or leaving a gift in your will. The Leukemia Foundation. Call 1800 620 420 or visit leukemia.org.au. And remember, great things happen when Australians give.
26 minutes past two here on a live 90.5. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. And currently we are live over the phone from Melbourne, George Hazim, who is the executive producer at
Informa TV. Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, please go on our website, Informa TV. Look for George Hazim. You will be glad you did it. And the most important thing is George, before we kick on with the George. Part of my curriculum when I was in other life, right? when I was in old communism, you know, I mean, we used to be it was a part of called the subversive methods, right? Which is basically counter control media, which, you know, you go in university and then you are master the young journalist who's going to become journalists, right? And then you turn them into influencers and then become writers for the great communist newspapers, you know what I mean? Now today I'm like in the studio with George Hazim, and I'm so privileged, George. So George, what do you see as the biggest challenge today, right this very moment, around this situation with the COVID? Like, I tell something from my personal experience. We are all exposed to the mainstream media daily. And the thing it is, we're seeing a lot of news, a lot of experts on the so-called experts and everything else, particularly journalists. But what I'm seeing is a lot of young journalists on the field. Do you see any challenges now in journalism when it's come to the COVID?
Yes. One of the greatest challenges, I believe, is the ability for journalists to wade through the different so-called experts that present themselves,
yes,
as on the matter of COVID and a whole range of issues, and just limiting themselves to the same voices that are rolled out in the media, which tends to narrow the narrative and narrow the expert voices that are able to convey what's really happening. And I think that's a lot of the problem, because what mainstream media tends to do is it'll follow itself around. If one news program has expert A, then you'll have a whole range of other journalists looking for that same expert to make comment, where they don't seek diversity in the voices on that particular subject who may have a different view. And that's the problem. It's narrowing the voice where they should be expanding it. Now, in many ways, and I know this is going to sound like a plug for the Informer, but that's the basis in which why the Informer was set up. It was to
please be the voice. You can be a voice for Informer, because this Business Insight with Mario and Matt, it's a show where you can advertise as much as you can.
It's all about you for this hour.
Yes, so this is your hour, so please.
That's okay. Look, I'll be shameless in it, and in terms of plugging the Informer, because the Informer was set up on the basis of broadening the narrative as opposed to narrowing the narrative, and listening and to a whole range of different sources and voices where people can have access to a whole range of different experts. Now, you know, you understand how cancer culture works. If you've got effectively a different voice that's different to the major narrative, and that voice might be a a world-leading expert, for example, who understands the subject better than those who are presenting themselves as experts, well, if their narrative runs contrary to the majority,
yes,
well, guess what happens? They get shouted down, they get screamed at, they get called all sorts of things. And the truth of the matter is, if you're presenting a different idea or a different view or a different voice, and that voice may be completely far more accurate than the vocal majority.
Yes.
I think, and there's so much importance around what we're talking about right now, if you ask me. The cancel culture, it's very limiting to society, if you ask me. Though, George, I'd love to know, why aren't we talking about it? Why isn't this something that's being spoken about and being addressed? Because it's something to cancel someone's voice and to silence someone is
well, it makes you feel like everybody speak on radio, then my voice will not be sexiest one. So that's
why. I'm sorry, Mario, but it's not all about you sometimes. Yeah. Nah, no, but George, I'd love to know, why aren't we talking about it? Because our word is the one thing that we all have. But to,
I'll explain that to you. Because I think a lot of people live in fear of being different to the vocal majority. And they live in fear of, well, if they express a different view, then they're going to be shouted down. Now, you know, their personal opinions might be vastly different to their public opinion.
Mm.
And if you're going to be shouted down, you're going to be screamed at, you're going to be berated, belittled, derided, then, or trolled or bullied, then effectively what you find happening is that people are scared to speak out. And that's what's become so insidious now, is that people don't have a voice, or their right to have an opinion or a voice has been literally taken away from them. And if you see in Victoria, for example, Victoria is the classic example. And a lot of Australians and Victorians have just raised the white flag and have just handed over their voice or their rights or their freedoms, and without effectively being able to stand up or speak or give an opinion, I think it's very sad. I think we're living in some very,
if,
very
I, if I may highlight something there, like make a parallel, I do remember after, in a war in Croatia, right? And I do remember when the war was end, was ended, and it was nothing else to do. Suddenly, those who hide themselves during the war, right? They become the biggest vocal in community.
Mm.
They wrote the books, the medals was falling, they saved everybody, anybody. Like, I was just watching. Anyway, for me, it was much more easier to deal with them because I was in counterintelligence, right? And, some things was need to go through my hands and, of course. And, what the George says, I think this is the first time I'm hearing from Melbourne, somebody, we have several guests, that try to address this issue. But, it's very difficult to live in a city where you're afraid to speak the truth, or you already hoist the white flag and you surrender yourself, and then yet you turn the mainstream media and then you see all this news, but then you think so it's not so bad over there, right? And then you talk to people it's literally a different situation, and the internet is not it's not so, George, I would say, so graciously kind to everybody who speaks. If you say a different way, you're going to be shut down and, their content be removed and so on and so on. So the journalists today being in Melbourne, it's obviously, it's a big challenge, get the information and ask the questions and everything else.
It's hard to ask the questions in itself, right? Sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's a need for a whole range of independent voices within the media now. And as I said earlier, they're now popping up because it's critically important that we, there are different voices out there. But, I always say to everybody, you shouldn't go to one, you shouldn't get your news from one source. You need to diversify your, where you get your news from, and then be able to form an opinion around the information that you're receiving and what you see is credible and what you see is not credible.
See that as such a really key thing, and it's something like personally I apply to my life. I try to get my news from not just one source, though. People fall, at least I find, at least the people that I know, quite often they fall into the trap of just getting caught up in one source because they like that opinion. Do you think it's important for people to have their opinion challenged and to hear the other side?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if you're not prepared to take the bullets, you know, if you're not prepared to take the bullets, exactly, don't go against the wall. And that's what I say. I'm sorry, George, to apologize. I'll give you the one anecdote from my life, George, so you can, you know, a little bit laugh. My father used to be waking up 4:30 in the morning. He was a typical communist product, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Stalin, Marx and Engels, you know, Tito, all this, you know, day and night, right? And then as I was growing up, one day I heard him, he was waking him up, you know, going in the kitchen. It was a one-bedroom unit, four of us in one-bedroom unit. You cannot miss the noise in kitchen. And I follow him, you know, in this big unit, 52 square meters. And what my father was doing, George, that was interesting enough, you know. I remember it was a 98 or 1981. I know Tito passed away and there was a coup d'etat in Poland. General Jaroslaw Jaruzelski, he took it over. Anyway, and he was going in the bathroom, took the blankets, and go in the bathtub, right, and cover himself and smoking under having the coffee. And my mom, she runs in the bathroom, George, right? And guess what she did? Mm. She reported him same morning to the secret police, right? Because he was listening to Voice of America. He went 14 days in a camp for a re-education. So that was, you know what I mean? But that was for him, you know, like, you know, because on communism, you have that only a couple channels to watch and a couple radio stations to listen. And there was all this drumming of same things, you know, greatest, we are this, we are that. Everybody's stupid, everybody's dead, you know what I mean? And while we're standing in line in front of the shops for 12 hours to get 1 kilo of flour or sugar, you know, that was normal, yeah. And my father comes back from the camp, you know, he says to me, never forget, he said, and you just watch the state TV, you know, this is the best thing. That's all news coming from them, George. So but what happened, that information, it's very important that we get it from different sources. So tell us more, George, about Informa TV. Why Informa TV? Why did you start Informa TV?
Look, Mario, as I explained to you before, the world of journalism has changed dramatically, and there's been a shrinkage in terms of the range of media outlets or where people can get information or their sources from.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like what you find now is that the same old voices are heard day in, day out by mainstream media. They roll out the same voice, and that narrows the narrative. My objective for starting Informa was to broaden that narrative and look at a whole range of different voices where... You're not following the same lead as mainstream media, and you're creating a different voice and a different opportunity to hear from a whole range of different voices. That's exactly why it was started.
It allows people to find their own voice, which I think is a very...
Before we take the break, George, so just fancy this situation, if you can imagine this. George, if somebody comes with a resume to you and they say, I want to be a journalist, what do you judging person to become the journalist or be good for the TV or newspaper, so radio, like myself? Yes?
Okay. Well, look, you've got to have a commitment to news, and they've got to be resilient and be prepared to get knockbacks. Now, I remember when I was applying to get into journalism, I got many, many knockbacks to begin with. So it's the ability to be resilient and also, to know that if you're going to get knocked back, you've got to keep on getting up the floor and applying. Because that's what editors want in my time, and that's what I'll be looking for, is someone who, they're determined, they're go-getters, they're going to be able to pursue a story. If they meet a dead end, how do I get around that dead end to get to the story? How do I find out the information that I want? Which sources I can draw on? So it's someone who's got a commitment to the love of it, and is also going to be resilient and be prepared to take knockbacks, but get up and keep on going.
Well, that's very interesting. Eh? That is very interesting. We take a short break.
That's a good point to send us on a break. You're listening to a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt. Stay tuned. We're live
and
with
us is George Hazim from Informa TV. And guys, I'm inviting you to go on a website, Informa TV, and you're going to see what this is about.
Alive 90.5.
Term 3 courses are open for enrolments at the Parramatta College and you have the option to learn either face-to-face in the classroom or online via Zoom. Courses include leisure and lifestyle, languages, computer skills, business and work skills. Fee-free training is also available. This training is subsidised by the New South Wales Government and eligibility criteria applies. Improve your personal and professional development with the Parramatta College. Enrol today. Call 9687 2072 or visit parramattacollege.edu.au. Station sponsor.
Hexagon Home Loans is your trusted mortgage broker. We focus on providing you with personal service and expert advice to help you find the home loan which best suits your requirements. Ranging from first home loans, refinancing, investment home loans, self-employed home loans, debt consolidation and SMSF loans. With a large network of lending institutions at our fingertips, we can assist you in making a well-informed decision that will save you time and money. Call us on 1300 562 649. Australian Credit Licence 504481. Station sponsor.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management. Workplace investigations. Competitor analysis. social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. Insightintelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
It's quarter to three here on the Live 90.5. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt, and we're live with George Hazim. And
directly from Melbourne, from the besieged city. It sounds like a Stalingrad, you know what I mean? Stalingrad was less, you know Stalingrad?
Stalingrad,
one of the most horror stories, Second World War.
Oh, you know, Sixth Army, you know what I mean?
Like fighting, you know what I mean? The Russians, they've been enveloped and circled. This is like a Melbourne for me, right? Mm. And the beauty is, you know, George, I tell you something from my experience, because, you know, like something from my background, it is like I used to work in communism and then in democracy and la, 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 la. But one thing, what I learned, and that's what I reflect in my latest article, mm-hmm. information is not what we see and read, or see on TV or read on the social media. We concluded in 2011, if you remember, George, you do, but Matt, maybe you don't, it was that Arab Spring uprising, right?
Arab Spring?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they called it Spring because it was related to the Prague Spring uprising, you know what I mean, Czechoslovakia, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, long story short, Egypt, Syria, and everybody else shut down the internet. No social media, only internet.
Okay.
But yet revolution was spreading. Do you know how? Because of word of mouth. And what I don't understand, George, but please enlighten me, George, please. When I'm watching the weather channel, the weather is never correct for next day. Why is that, please? I'm sorry I'm abusing your friendship, but why is that? I think it's the most deceiving thing.
What you mean in Melbourne? Why is it?
No, in Melbourne, everywhere. Like when Matt
in
reads,
general.
Yeah, general. When he reads the the weather for today, or we are watching on TV, the weather is never what they say is going to be that day. You know what I mean? The following day. Why is that?
Well, you can't blame the news organisations. Because they get all their information fed through the bureau, so
yeah,
you know, they're relying on information they get from the bomb.
Okay, so we can promise we will not get upset at the Informer if they
no, that's what sure. The Informer TV don't do. The Informer TV don't do. Yes.
So George, I've got a question. Sorry.
He's going to remember.
They're doing weather reports.
But yeah. Oh yeah. So I what comes to my mind is, nowadays, each and every person is in their own way, their own journalist, right? With social media, we now publish stories, we share about our own lives. Now, I'd love to hear from your perspective, what's more important to you as someone who works in that industry? We can follow what we love, what we want to talk about. Then there's also what people want to hear. For example, certain posts on social media are going to get X number of likes versus other posts. Like I know me personally, when I share more personal stuff, it tends to gain more traction versus maybe a quote that I'll put up or whatever. So what's more important from your perspective, George, to post more about what you want to be talking about or post what people want to hear?
Look, I think there's got to be a balance between the two, but you don't want to compromise your independence or the integrity of what you're reporting.
That's what sets apart, yeah.
Posting what people want to hear is fine, that'll get you clickbait, but it does nothing for your integrity or does nothing for the standard of journalism that you're trying to convey and produce. So it's more about the integrity of what you do and also the integrity of the reporting and the honesty of the reporting, as opposed to just going for eyeballs, and because that quickly wanes and then it impacts on your credibility as a news organisation.
That's exactly.
But that's an answer you want to hear though, right? Because George, like when I hear you say that, I what comes to my mind is that you're authentic.
That's correct. You're not just authentic, because George, you know, he speaks, he's a man of the experience and life, you know, I mean, situations, and he's gone through a lot, you know, his credentials are, you know, that's what they are, and you can't fault them.
But speak for themselves.
Speak freely. That's the integrity.
Mm.
That's the leading
things, not just being I'm the leadership, you know, I'm the leader of my organization.
He's my flashy he's like titles and all that stuff.
Exactly, look at my card, look at my resume. But to say, like, you know, this is the reason why I'm keeping that integrity, for which I'm very grateful having George today on with us in studio, George.
Thank you very much, Mario
and
Matthew.
So, yeah.
And I suppose just under that, from your perspective as well, there's something you didn't touch on when Mario asked about, media 20 years from now, so 20 years beforehand to now, what's the difference in the integrity? I'd love to dive into that.
Look, I think there's still great integrity around, but, you know, there are some organisations that compromise their integrity. So people have to be discerning in terms of, as I said once again, where they get their news from, how they process their news, the information they're prepared to believe, the credibility of where that information is coming from. So, you know, viewers.
People need to learn them themselves, you know.
You've got to learn to be able to decipher it, what's real and what's not real.
I need to come back with some of my sayings, right? Mm. You know, every revolution eats own children, right? When I was in one of these schools, you know, fancy ones, right?
Yeah.
fancy ones. And we talk about Che Guevara. You know who Che Guevara was, Matt?
No.
Okay, it was a guy from Bolivia, starting Cuba, you know, revolution, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and then, you know, like, as usually, communism, you never... Everybody who starts revolution, you know, you need to be liquidated because he knows too much, he's involved, he thinks entitled, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So the Mr... my God, I forgot his name... President of Cuba, he died, you know, I mean, anyway.
Castro,
yeah, that's correct. You know, Castro doesn't matter. Anyway, Castro executed him and he's become legend, and dead legends are better than anything else. And what we learn in that stage, you know, where you're doing this converting people to become sympathizers of the socialism and communism, you know, you can hold them for the hand, George, right, and show them the worst possible prisons in or gulags. You've never been in gulag because of Yugoslavia, but they will not believe what they're seeing because they love socialism and communism. Anyway, long story short, we have that expression, you know, every revolution is own children. Mm. And now what the George says, this is what I like, the integrity. And I mean, sooner or later, when all this is over, things are going to come back some type of normal. And people need to learn who to trust, not to trust. But George, before we end this interview with you, tell us more about Informa TV, how the people can find you, contact you, what services you're offering and these things.
Well, look, people can find us on LinkedIn, they can find us on YouTube, they can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on our website, which is www.theinforma.tv. And look, we're a global news and current affairs broadcast service. We're online and we run across all five major social media platforms, and you know, we're independent. We look to produce our stories that are integrous. We're honest in the way we report, and we look at the whole diverse range of subjects and topics. We're a new voice in the media. We're very progressive in how we like to present our news, but you know, once again, we're independent and we're a news organisation that looks to produce quality journalism.
So much to learn from you.
Perfect. Voice for everybody.
Perfect. And as we uncovered in this interview, we found out that a new voice and new
independent
a new voice and independent. Sorry, independent
global
voice.
Independent voice.
That's what we're after. That's what we're needing right now more than ever.
Well, mate, nobody wants you and I. So, George, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We invite you to come on Informa.tv and please look for the George Hazim and his team. You'll be glad you did it. And George, thank you very much for being our guest today. For all our listeners who want to listen again this interview with George Hazim tonight after 6:30 p.m. on our website, alive905.com.au. Entire interview, George Hazim, executive producer, Informa TV. Thank you, George. You know, like, I'm truly honored, you know, I mean, and privileged, Matt and I, we have somebody of your stature with us. We're interviewing you. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you, George.
Look, thank you, Mario. Thank you, Matthew. Now, can I put out a shameless plug?
Yes, please.
Is that okay? Look, I just want to thank the entire team at The Informer. They're absolutely fantastic. But can I encourage all your listeners to get out there and follow The Informer on LinkedIn, on YouTube, on Facebook and on Twitter, and get those numbers up for us.
Certainly, we will help you to hype this one. Absolutely, George, we will.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Mario.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Speak to you soon. See you.
Thank you very much, George.
Bye-bye.
We all know that paying for a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral? With none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance, $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02-9659-0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
We are Invictus Partners, an Australian company specialising in checking software usage across the major vendors like SAP, Oracle, IBM, Microsoft and VMware. Are you looking to reduce your software fees? Are you worried about being audited? Are you migrating to the cloud? Do you need help working out your software usage versus entitlements? Contact us at Invictus Partners today before you get hit with a compliance fine. Go to www.invictuspartners.com to arrange a no obligation discussion to see how we can help you. Station sponsor.
Hello, I'm Sam Mamone and Director of Cherrybrook Real Estate, the specialist in residential management. Call us on 9980 9860. We pride ourselves on taking the stress out of property management, looking after you and your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, call me, Sam Mamone from Cherrybrook Real Estate, 9980 9860.
Station sponsor.
Find it hard to tune in? Jump on the internet, stream live at www.alive905.com.au.
I don't know about you, there's something in his eyes, he's keeping secrets. I don't know about you, there's something in his eyes, he's keeping secrets.
What a way to drop a bombshell, baby, cause you really didn't think I'd find out. In the silence, cry, I'm on the side where the lights out. Know that you feel it, Holding on my heart and hips.
I don't know about you, something in it.
Live 90.5.
Penny's Crispy Pork Crackling is slow cooked for that big crunch and taste. Put some crunch in your munch. As a 100% Australian-owned business, Penny's Crispy Pork Crackling have been supplying deliciously crispy snacks in three crunch-tastic flavours, barbecue, chilli and original, to pubs, bottle shops, grocers and butchers in the Hills District. Order some now.